talk first, so I can talk as long as I want to, right? No. We're so glad to be with you this morning. We're back home, you know, in Charlotte County. I grew up in Abilene, right just up the road. I was a Templeton, and some of you may have known my parents, Noah and Hattie Templeton. And I'm proud to be their daughter. I heard some good stories about my daddy this morning from Mr. Russell Baker. And you know, I just want to say that we're all missionaries, aren't we? We're followers of Jesus, and so we're missionaries. And I just have to tell you this, you don't stop being a missionary. We were sent as Southern Baptist missionaries to Thailand, and we came home and retired. But you don't ever retire from being a missionary. So I have to give you this quick commercial. You know, just up the road, every Tuesday night, we have a women's Bible study. It's an interdenominational study. We have people there from all over the county. We have black, white, Asian, and it's a wonderful time together. We have a Christ-centered Bible study. We do a book-by-book study. This year, we're studying the book of Romans. I want to invite all the ladies from high school on up because we have a wonderful group of women there. Do you know that we have about 28 women that show up there every week? So I invite you to come. It's from 7 to 8:30. We don't mess around. We don't chit-chat. We study God's Word. And so I just want to give you that quick commercial. Now, when I was a little girl growing up in Abilene, my sister and I loved to stand on a high hill overlooking the farm, and we would call out in our little girl voices, "Hello, hello." What do you think happened?
Echo.
Echo, oh yes. We loved it, because we were little. Our voices sounded big. And this is what resounding means, the word resounding. It is a sound that goes out, it echoes, it reverberates, it touches everything around it. When we serve the Lord, we don't always feel that our work is resounding. But God promises us in Isaiah 55:11, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." I want you to look at this cube right here. Maybe you've seen one like this before. It opens up and has seven pictures that you can use in explaining God's good news for us in Jesus. And when we were serving as missionaries in Thailand, we often used this cube in our workshops in churches as we encouraged Thai believers to share their faith with their families and friends. So with your Lottie Moon dollars, we would give out little, this is the same thing, only a smaller version. We would give these out to the participants in our workshops. We trained them how to use it and also to use their testimonies, because we said, you know, you may not always have this cube with you, but you've always got your testimony, and nobody could ever take that from you. So we would give them this little cube, and we would hold them accountable. The next time we met with them, they would tell us stories about how they used this. I mean, we had like a little 13-year-old girl that came back the next Sunday, was so excited she had shared the gospel story with some of her classmates. So many times we prayed after we did that. We didn't know how it would go on or whether or not they would continue to use it. But about a year after we retired, my husband got a Facebook message along with a picture of one of these. And the message said, "Are you the one that gave me this? I have used this to share the gospel and have led many others to faith in Christ. Thank you." Now, we want to thank you for supporting us as your Southern Baptist missionaries in Thailand. Not only for providing materials like this and Bibles, this one's written in Thai, but for our language study, the hardest thing we've ever had to do. But we're so appreciative of being able to talk to Thai people in their heart language. Even did it the other day when we went to the Thai restaurant in Lynchburg and could talk to the server in Thai. Thank you for that. You provided our housing, our car, and health care. I had cancer while I was overseas. You paid for that treatment, and I was able to return to work. We can never thank you enough for your gifts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program, which enabled us to be a part of this resounding news. It's still going out. The resounding news of the gospel throughout the nations.
The Great Commission is a command from Jesus to all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, which means all of us, through our praying, our giving, our going, together, we all have a part to play in seeing the gospel spread to the ends of the earth.
Well, within that first year of planting our church, before we were really ready to do an overseas trip, we knew we wanted to go. When a particular team goes, I mean, the whole church feels like we're all going. We're going with them. This is what we do as sentinels.
It's just a privilege to be able to be sent.
I think about all the people who have invested in us. We stand on the shoulders of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who come for us.
I have the privilege of really shepherding my children's hearts. We want them to not only hear about missions, we want them to understand it the way God wants us to. You share with those around you, you share with those in America, and then you share around the world.
We get up at 6 and we pray for the missionaries.
I don't think there's anything quite as powerful to me as someone coming up to me and saying, I'll pray for you, or I'm praying for you.
And you see all the hurt in the world, you see the needs, you see what you have, and you're able to help other people. We want to give, even though we're small, even when we don't want to, even when we feel like it's hard, we want to show the love of Christ and lavish the gift of grace and things that we can give as He's given to us.
It's not, you know, all about what I can get out of it. It's about God's love for me and how that changes my heart to share that with everyone else that I meet. And so it's kind of changed the way that I do my business.
So I see these two groups at work. We've got a group of churches who are praying and giving and sending out missionaries, and a group of missionaries then who are spreading the gospel in some of the hardest, most difficult, dangerous, reached places and peoples in the world. And together, there's a unity there that is resounding to the glory of God. In partnership with you, the IMB sends and supports missionaries all over the world, and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is a critical part of that support. 100% of gifts that you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering go directly to missionaries who are spreading the gospel among the nations.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us today. We feel privileged to be back with you, especially since we can thank you for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and your participation in that and how it helped us carry the gospel to be messengers of the good news. Today I want to talk to you, though, about, let's see, is that on? Wait, turn this off, I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, okay. I want to talk to you about the topic of who is my neighbor. Now, what are we doing? Okay. Who is my neighbor? We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, if you want to turn there. And this is a time near Jesus's ministry when he is training his disciples to be missionaries. If you're familiar with the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he's sending out people two by two to go to various cities and things. What happens is that they get to discover who their neighbors are, who the people are that God wants them to love and to share and to be brothers and sisters with. We love being back in Charlotte County and being with our neighbors. You know, we've lived in Chesterfield. You know what that suburban place looks like. We've lived in Bangkok, Thailand, where people just live on top of each other. I mean, you know, it's just, people are just stacked. But being in the greater suburbs of Phoenix, Virginia is just unique. We love being up there and going to church with our neighbors and being with our neighbors. But the real question is, who are our neighbors? There are a lot of people that are our neighbors we don't even recognize as our neighbors. So this teaching that Jesus was doing of his disciples was kind of like an awareness training. He sent them out into villages, and these were, for the most part, Gentile places. They were not Jewish communities. They were not Jewish cities. They were not Jewish villages. But they were on the way from Galilee to Jerusalem, which is where Jesus would be going. Now, when you go from that area up on the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem, you have a pretty direct route, and that is to go through the area which we know as Samaria. And the Samaritans, you've heard of the Samaritans, they live there. But Jews, since they didn't like the Samaritans, they didn't like any Gentiles, they would often cut across the Jordan River, go down the other side, get to the southern part of the country, and then cut back west to Jerusalem. That's how they would go, because they just did not want to deal with being in a Gentile land and among Gentile people. Well, that wasn't what Jesus wanted to teach his disciples. So he sent them out, and this was 70 of them. We know later that the group was just growing and growing and growing. His group was often like our group of church. You know, what do you say? 20% of the people do 80% of the work? I don't know. It's probably your church. Everybody does everything wonderfully. But, you know, you have that really dedicated group. Then you have the disciples, and then you have the onlookers or the crowd. So this is how Jesus often did things. But he sent these people. He gave them specific instructions about what to do. But what we want to do is we want to skip down in the chapter to verse 17, because this is the report back meeting. I imagine that when Jesus had sent his disciples out, they were to go pronounce his coming, that he followed along behind them, that they probably set up arrangements for him to stay overnight and those kinds of things. Probably took a 3-day journey just to get through there. And so they were instructed how to be witnesses. They were instructed how to be missionaries. Because being Jewish people, they'd always kept to themselves. They'd always concerned themselves with people like themselves. And they had no experience of dealing with people who weren't like themselves. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other, as a matter of fact. They really were hostile to each other. But this is a report that came back. It says in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." That's what he's promising to us if we be his witnesses. I've been in some places that I was pretty scared. I've been in some places that I had to be very careful. But Jesus promises to protect us, and he will do that as well. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written and recorded in heaven." What does this mean? It simply means that we can have all kinds of power. We can have all kinds of authority. We can have all kinds of recognition. But there's nothing greater than having our names written in the book of heaven. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I'm going to pray about this, or I'm going to pray about that." Well, we have the privilege of being God's creation, don't we? We have the privilege of being created in his image. And all of us, all around the globe, are created in God's image. But not all of us are God's children. Only those who have their names written in heaven are God's children. And how do we do that? There's one prayer God always hears, and that prayer is, "God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins, and I ask that you send Jesus into my heart to change my life and to help me live for you." I can't promise you that if you're not a Christian, that God's going to answer all your prayers. But I will promise you that he will always hear that prayer. That's how a person becomes a Christian. And so we see that as Jesus' disciples were coming back, they were marveling at all the power that Jesus had given them. But he said, "The greatest thing is that you are a child of God." I want to ask you today, are you a child of God? Do you know for sure? Do you know that his death on the cross has made it possible that your sins are forgiven and that you can have eternal life? If that's true and you are a Christian, then you are also a missionary. I had many people overseas ask us, "Are you a missionary?" You know, because they saw all kinds of Americans in Thailand for all kinds of purposes. So we were often asked, "Are you a missionary?" And I always want to say, all Christians are missionaries. But that requires us to be on mission, to be living with a purpose, to be conducting our lives with meaning, to want our lives to count for something, and sometimes to be willing to take a risk for our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is your neighbor? This report back session that Jesus was having at this point probably went like this. He often would come back to Jerusalem. He'd teach in the synagogue or the temple or public square, and people would gather around. By this point, Jesus was a pretty well-known guy. He was pretty not exactly popular, but he was a publicly recognized figure because so much had been said about him. He had healed people. He had raised the dead. he had proclaimed that he was the Son of God. John the Baptist had proclaimed him being the Son of God. And so wherever he spoke, wherever he went, people paid attention to him. And so back in Jerusalem now, this experience, missionary experience over, the disciples and followers of Jesus have come and reported, wow, what great, wonderful things we were able to do in your name. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan like lightning falling to the earth. Satan is dethroned, and people know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I often think of that sci-fi movie with Tom Cruise, you know, the War of the Worlds, where the bad guys came in. Anybody remember that movie? Ever see that? Where the outer space people come into the earth and they come flying down in streaks of lightning. And I think of that when I read this passage about what Jesus is saying about Satan falling from heaven, Satan being dethroned, Satan thrown down. I know what it's like to be in a place where there are no Christians at all whatsoever. We used to go about 7 hours out of Bangkok to this village. It was a person we knew who was from that village. But can you imagine being in a place as big as Charlotte County and not having a church? Not having any Christian witness at all. Well, this is what it was like to be in that village. And we would go many times before. Finally, one time, a young man stood up and said he wanted to follow Jesus. It was like turning on the light. It was like changing the whole experience of being in that village, because Satan's power had been broken. And soon there was another one, and soon there was another one, and soon there was another one. People coming and saying, we want to be Christians. This past week, Wanda and I went up to Natural Bridge, and they have the caverns at Natural Bridge. I don't know how many of you have ever done that, but we walked into the caverns, and we got way down under the ground. And the guide turned out the lights. We were a couple hundred feet underground. It was the darkest place I have ever been in my life. It was so dark. I mean, you could feel it. It was just, you couldn't even do this and see your fingers. It was just 100% black darkness. And then he turned on a little pen light that had a few lumens of light, and you could see that. And he said, oh, wow, I'm not in the dark any longer. That's what it's like when people begin to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there are many places. There are over 3,000 places in the world, 3,000 people groups in the world that have never had someone to tell them about Jesus at all. No one has ever given them a Bible. No one's ever given them a scripture. No one's ever preached the word. And they're waiting. They're waiting. Well, why should we be concerned about them? Let's go on to the last part of this chapter, and it'll tell us why. After all this wonderful reporting about the activity of the Holy Spirit and people confessing their sins, the party had to have a party pooper, somebody who wanted to rain on the parade. And so in verse 25, a lawyer stood up and to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." The lawyer knew the law as well as Jesus knew the law. They both knew the regulations. They both knew what the Bible at that time said. These two quotes, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." First one comes from Deuteronomy. The second one comes from Leviticus. These were well-known things among the Jewish people. Of course, the lawyer answered correctly. But then he got a little uncomfortable because loving your neighbor. The Jews at that time knew that they were to love their neighbors, but they also were convinced they were to hate their enemies. So the big question was, who is which? The people who are like me or not like me, the people speak like I do or don't speak like I do, who are my neighbors and who are my enemies? So he asked you, Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, as he told this story, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also went, and when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, and pouring oil and wine on them, he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend above this, I will repay you when I return.'" Jesus then asked, "Which of these two proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." My friends, we are living in unparalleled times as far as opportunities for Christian witness. Whenever there's a turmoil, whenever there's a crisis, whenever people are displaced, whenever people are in harm's way, they are always more apt to stop and listen to the truth. That's why we have disaster relief. That's why we send teams to states where there are tornadoes and floods. Right now in the world, there are over 7.2 million people who are displaced and have no homes and cannot go home. And they have to go to other countries. And they have to find shelter and places to live and work and start their lives over. It's an unparalleled time for us to share the gospel with these people. The quicker we can get to them, the more receptive they will be to the gospel. We have missionaries who are working among those refugees who tell us the longer they're here in the camp, the longer they're able to come and start their own little community again or get up with family members, the less they are willing to listen to the gospel presentation. Will we respond? In the Arab world today, people are turning in droves to Jesus Christ. We all know that. It's not in the news, but it is happening. Christians have an unparalleled opportunity to share the gospel, to be the neighbor. Are these our neighbors? I want you to think about that when you are thinking about your Lighting Moon Christmas offering. Is your Lighting Moon Christmas offering? I don't know. I don't even know the goal of your church. What is it? Does anybody know?
Give from the heart.
Pardon?
Give from the heart.
What's the goal?
We didn't set a goal this year.
Didn't set a goal.
The goal was to give from your heart.
Always give from your heart. Okay. Well, let me say amen to that. But let me say, your gift deserves prayer time. Your gift deserves consideration. Is your gift just a token? Something that you do every year without thinking very much? Does your gift to the Lighting Moon Christmas offering deserve the same kind of consideration and priority as your gift to family members? This year, let's not let it be routine. Let's not let it be mundane. Let's not let it be ordinary. Let's realize that Jesus is calling on us to be neighbors to people all over the world. In the last few months, in the last few years, we've had to trim down our missionary force. We had to bring a lot of people home. But now is the time for us as Southern Baptists to realize that we can make a difference in this world. Big question is, do we even know our neighbors here in the county? How many foreign-born people in Charlotte County can you name? They weren't born here. They were born overseas. They came here. They may have a convenience store. They may have a business. Do you know them? Are you sharing the gospel with them? Are you a neighbor? My friends, Jesus said, go and do likewise. When he was talking to the lawyer, love your neighbor as yourself. I hope this year we remember that our neighbors can be any place in the world that we can communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Who is your neighbor? Who are you willing to be a neighbor to as well? This story from Jesus was a pretty radical story. When he talked about, when he was telling that story there in Jerusalem and all those Jews were listening, and he, remember the characters in the story, the three characters in the story? The person who came by was a priest. Oh, good guy. But he looked away. Second guy was a Levite. Oh, this is a righteous man. But he looked away. And the third man was a Samaritan, someone the Jews hated, couldn't get along with, didn't even want to walk through their country. And yet Jesus made him the hero of this story. It'd be just like me telling this story today and saying, you know, the first guy who came by was a preacher. He looked away. The second guy came by, was a deacon, and he looked away. And the third guy who came by was a Islamic fundamentalist. That's how radical this story was for Jesus' hearing, people in Jesus' hearing, because they did not see those people as having worth. They did not see those people as being created in the image of God and worthy of the gospel truth. My friends, God loves all His children. He loves all His creation, and He wants all of them on that great day in heaven to bow and worship to Him. Are we willing to get out of our comfort zone? I hear you sending some people to South America on a mission trip. Wonderful. Keep it up. May it multiply. May you know that you are part, that you are that audience that Jesus was talking to when He stood and said, before He ascended into heaven, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the hated people, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You, us. Not other people, us. We are to be those witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You today for Your word, which confirms Your love for all mankind. Your word, which teaches us that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that He intends to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, that His name will be above all names. Every second, people have been dying since we've been talking. Since I've got up here and started talking, Lord, enough people have died and gone to hell to fill a small city. Do we care? Are we their neighbor? Father, touch our hearts, that we might become passionate about sharing Your word personally and making sure that our missionaries can go where we cannot. Be with us today, and we pray that You bless this church. Bless their giving as they give from the heart. May it really, really be a gift of the heart. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn today is hymn 336.